ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 11, text number 48. Sorry, text number 47, 48 and 49. So we'll read this verse, text number 47, and some of you can respond. And then we'll just read through the next two verses. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Maya prasannena tava arjunedam. Rupam param darshitam atma yogat. Tejo mayam vishwamanantadyam. Yanme tvaddannena nadrishta purvam. Shri Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Arjuna, happily have I shown you, by my internal potency, the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this primal form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. Text number 48. Na veda yagya dhyaya nair na danair na chakriya bhir na tapo bhir ugray evam rupa shakya aham riloke drashtum twadanne na kuru pravira. Translation. O best of the Kuru warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activities, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in this material world. Mate vyatha ma cha vimudha bhavo drishtva rupam ghoram idrinmamedam vyapeta bhish prita manah punastvam tadeva me rupam idam prapashya. This is text number 49. Translation. You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire. Om Ajnana Timirandhas Jnananjana Shalakaya. Hare Krishna. So, in this 11th chapter, after fulfilling the desire of Arjuna and revealing his gigantic universal form, and seeing Arjuna disturbed, praying to Krishna that, please, I have had enough of this form. Now please show me your four-handed form. So hearing this plea, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is reciprocating with him in these three verses. Yesterday, we saw or we understood why Arjuna wanted to see Krishna's universal form. The primary purpose was for all times to come, to establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because for anyone to be God, they must be able to exhibit the universal form. Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In every age, Krishna appears as one of his categorical incarnation, Yuga Avatar, the incarnation for that particular age. There are four ages in which time has been divided. Actually, time cannot be divided. However, based upon the consciousness of the general mass of population over a certain period of time, there are four divisions. Satyayuga, the age of truthfulness, mercy, cleanliness, austerity, all four principles well established. After a long duration of Satyayuga, when the general consciousness starts going down, and specifically the ability of people to perform austerity decreases, begins the age of Treta. After a long duration of Treta Yuga, when slowly the ability of people to be clean decreases, actually to be truthful decreases. I'm so sorry, please forgive me. In Treta Yuga, the three principles of mercy, truthfulness and cleanliness exist. Austerity is a little depleted. And then at a particular point of time in Treta Yuga, the quality of mercy starts decreasing. So in Satyayuga, because all the four principles are well practiced, people meditate. It's easy to meditate because one is clean, one is austere, one is merciful. But as soon as the capability to be austere decreases, meditation becomes difficult. Yes? Like I'm right now speaking and most of you are hearing. This is meditation. The sound vibration is heard by the audience and the audience meditates on the sound vibration. How long? That austerity is too much. The mind flickers. So the ability to perform austerity decreases, Treta Yuga begins. The three principles of cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness persist. Therefore, in the age of Treta, instead of meditation, which is not really possible, one performs sacrifices. Now when one does sacrifices, one has to offer something in the sacrificial fire. Sometimes it would be lower form of animals, qualified enough to be offered in the sacrifice. Now towards the decline of Treta Yuga, the quality of mercy decreases. Hence, people will perform sacrifices for purposes other than being merciful. They lose the quality of mercy. Then, at the end of Treta, it is no longer possible to perform sacrifices. The third yuga, Dwapar, then begins. The nature of the consciousness of the general mass is that they are only capable of doing some. They have some clean habits. Cleanliness of mind is there, cleanliness of body is there, and they are truthful. Since mercy is lost and austerity is lost, meditation cannot be done, sacrifices cannot be done. Therefore, the process of deity worship is implemented. That is the process by which one becomes Krishna conscious. As Dwapar Yuga progresses, more and more and more, people lose the quality of being clean. They start becoming unclean, both in body and in mind. For example, in the Mahabharata, Bhishma and Drona are very powerful personalities. So is Kripacharya, so is Dhritarashtra. Although he is blind and sometimes he doesn't understand even spiritual values clearly, but Dhritarashtra is his His character is very powerful. By character he is very strong. But such great personalities could not stop the disrobing of Draupadi. Because the property of cleanliness, the quality of cleanliness is decreasing. It becomes very unclear for them whether this is correct or this is not. They cannot discriminate. Hence, at the end of Dwapar Yuga, it is recommended that deity worship should also be stopped. It's not possible for anyone to do it. Kali Yuga begins. And Kali Yuga, some amount of truthfulness is left. That also slowly declines. And then when everything declines, nothing remains. It is just a society of animals. No qualities. So Krishna has to personally come, you know, wipe everything clean. It is like sometimes when there is, after long winter and summer, dusty, everything, the houses are covered with soot and they are covered with dust. The trees are covered accordingly. Everything looks a little dirty. It needs a very strong thunderstorm, a very powerful thunderstorm which cleans up the atmosphere. Because the ozone within that, when the thunderstorm is very powerful with lightning, it liberates the ozone, and the ozone, O3, scientific reason, O3 is nascent oxygen is released. Nascent oxygen is very powerful cleaning agent. Cleans up everything. So immediately after a nice thunderstorm, you'll find the atmosphere very clean. Not after a one day rainfall. After a day's long rainfall, nothing looks clean. Everything looks drab. But after a short, powerful thunderstorm, everything is clean. Similarly, when there's nothing remaining except the nascent qualities or the dormant qualities of animalism, Krishna has to come as Kalki and destroy everyone's propensities by actually killing their existence as the various species of life, especially human species, such that only those who have some pure desire, a few of them remain. And then they propagate the new age of Satya Yoga again. So in each of these ages, to establish the four processes of practicing Krishna consciousness, in Kali Yuga the process is chanting Hare Krishna, because none of the other processes work. It is not that truthful people can only chant Hare Krishna. It's not like that. Just because in Kali Yuga some truthfulness remains, we should not think that, oh, we are very truthful people, therefore we are chanting Hare Krishna. Because it is the age. It is the process for this age. It is just that no other process works. Therefore, the only process that is powerful enough to work in such a situation has to be implemented. That is chanting of the holy names. So, to establish each one of these processes, it needs that Krishna himself comes. Just like to establish government policies, you need the present government with its cabinets to be established. If the government is not formed, what is happening today in the state of Maharashtra? No policies are being formed because there is no government. No cabinet ministers have been elected, appointed. So where will the policies be implemented? Ordinary citizen like you and me cannot start making policies. So similarly, to implement the particular policy for that age, known as the Yuga Dharma, Krishna comes as Yuga Avatar. In Kali Yuga, Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he adventured in the tract of land of Bengal, in a special place of 9 islands, Navadvip. Specifically in the central island called Antardweep, and the capital of Antardweep, Mayapur. He adventured there. Very soon, at the age of 24, he took on the role of accepting a spiritual master and started propagating the Yuga Dharma. Now, for many years, as he was staying in Navadweep, I'm sorry, not at 24, it was around 18 years when he started propagating this Yuga Dharma. So for many years, 5 to 6 years, he stayed in Navadvip and propagated the chanting mission. And he had many followers, like Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt. These are well-known people. Today we may not know their names. But at one point of time, they were very powerful. Everyone, whatever opinions they gave, people would listen to them. Very powerful personalities. One of them was Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya had his house in Mayapur. So did his friend Srivas. And also one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit. Now, they would have Sankirtan programs either in Srivas's house or in Advaita Acharya's house. But generally in Srivas's house. In Advaita Acharya's house, they would have the program of Bhagavad Gita class or Bhagavatam class. One day, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in some part of Navadvip, Advaita Acharya started remembering, oh, Krishna has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The same Krishna who in Vrindavan was performing so many wonderful pastimes. He was taking the cows to the pasturing grounds. In the groves of Vrindavan, on beautiful swings, he would swing. At night time, sometimes in a boat, he would be performing his Nauka Leela, Nauka Vihar, boat pastimes. Sometimes he would be charging tax for butter. Sometimes he would be, as a young child, stealing butter. Mother Yashoda would be catching him. So remembering all of this, and he felt so much intense separation from Krishna in Vrindavan that he started crying tears. And when everyone saw Advaita Acharya, this very grave, sober, and the leader of all the Vaishnav community, a top class Brahmana, crying like a child, they were all shocked. What to do? They tried to somehow or the other pacify him. They could not. Then they started chanting Hare Krishna. Advaita Acharya became a little pacified. Then, as soon as they became pacified, they took him to the Ganga to take bath. You know, generally when a person becomes a little agitated, you say, bath le lo, snan kar lo, dimag thanda ho jayega. Right? So, they went to the Ganges to take bath, so that things simmer down a little. Then they came back. Now, some of the devotees, they stayed on the banks of the Ganga, discussing. And Advaita Acharya came alone to the house of Srivas. And again, remembering the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, he started crying again and again and again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart knew that Advaita Acharya was crying. So he rushed to the house of Srivas and he said, Advaita, I know your heart. I know why you are crying. You are feeling separation from Krishna. I have come. I have come to fulfill all of your desires. Ask of me any boon. Advaita Acharya said, my dear Lord, that very form that you showed to Arjuna on the battlefield, please show that form to me right now. So that is a link between today's verse and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him the universal form. The same form which Krishna is saying here in this verse. O Arjuna, no one before you has ever seen this primal form. Please understand. This is the unique contribution of Arjuna. For you and me, when we speak, we say, yes, Arjuna saw the universal form, as if Arjuna is buying vada pav. You know? You go out on the street and you say, is it difficult to buy us? You know? Go to any corner street, you'll find a dabeli's shop there, thela wala, and you can get vada pav. So when we speak of Arjuna seeing the universal form, we don't understand what a unique contribution of Arjuna, what Arjuna has uniquely contributed to the history of mankind. This form has never been seen before by anyone. Krishna is saying, I am showing it to you. And it is through the medium of Arjuna that we have the ability to also understand the universal form. Otherwise, all of us are simply disillusioned, conditioned souls. The only opportunity to understand the universal form is because Arjuna requested Krishna to show it. So next time when we see the universal form, please remember that it is through Arjuna's mercy, through his request, and along with offering obeisances to the universal form, be grateful also to Arjuna. Thank you, Arjuna. Arjuna is an acharya in that sense. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his universal form. Now Nityananda Prabhu was roaming the streets of Navadvip. He understood something very interesting is going on, and I should not miss it. So he ran to that house, and then he also saw the form. And both these devotees, when they saw the universal form, they were so happy that in their happiness, the only thing that they could do was chant Hare Krishna. And devotees, when they chant Hare Krishna, they start dancing. So they started chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. And lo and behold, the universal form started dancing with them. This was never before seen by anyone. The universal form dancing. It is simply through the mercy of Advaita Acharya that we have the possibility of even hearing about the universal form dancing. Generally, the universal form makes everyone else dance. Because it is pralaya. You see the universal form and you find, oh my God, it's total destruction, devastation. But here in Sankirtan, even the universal form dances. That is the glory of Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Now again, why did Advaita Acharya want to see the universal form? Because for all times to come, Advaita Acharya has established Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has shown the universal form. Now in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, through his purport, I'm just going to summarize the purport. Please try to read it afterwards. Take the Bhagavad Gita as it is and read the purport. It is very interesting. So through his purport and also commenting on the verse, the point that is coming forth is, Krishna is saying, happily have I shown you, by my internal potency, the supreme universal form within the material world. The universal form is the sum total of the entire material world. In one sense, it contains everything within the universe, actually all the universes. When Krishna showed his universal form to Mother Yashoda, all the universes were within his mouth. Now it is Krishna's inconceivable potency that he can make the universal form appear within the universe. Ever imagine that? Sometimes people think that Krishna is just an ordinary boy, all he knows to do is play the flute. Which is definitely true. All he does is simply play the flute. His inconceivable potency shows the universal form. He doesn't. He doesn't need to. Just as a rich man is there, once there was one big industrialist, a motor car tycoon. Somebody pressed some charges against him and got him to court. And the issue was that this person does not know ABC of motor cars or engines or anything to do with the motor industry. And he's taking all the profits. So this is intellectual theft. Copyright should be against it. So the point was noted and the question was raised that, sir, do you have any knowledge of this industry or any knowledge of mechanics, mechanism, motor cars, engines? He said, I don't. So it was as if he had lost the case. But then he said, I have this panel with buttons on it. And with press of one button, I can get any car mechanic, I can get any engineer to come and work for me. So if I can do that with the press of a button, why do I have to learn the entire mechanics of, you know, how cars function? So he won the case. It is not necessary for him to have known how things work. But if he can have knowledgeable people working for him, he is a powerful personality. So he doesn't do anything with motor cars. He does not go and tighten the screws or check up the carburetor or do R&D. No. He employs people to do that. That is his power. That is his powerful energy. Just imagine Krishna as a supreme powerful personality. Why would he have to do anything but play the flute? So that is what Krishna does. He is God. God is supposed to enjoy, so he enjoys. God does not need to work. If God works, then we will enjoy. And it doesn't fit the equation. Right? By constitution, we cannot do that. Therefore, Krishna, by his inconceivable potency, gets things done. Even activities like showing the universal form within this material world. If one sometimes is tired of simply seeing Krishna, you know, because we cannot conceive, we cannot really drink in the beauty of Krishna's wonderful form when he shows it. You know, every time when we come in front of the altar, we are trying to really, you know, use our brains, tax it. Let me see how beautiful today it is. And all we can see is the beautiful jewelry. Or we can see the beautiful dress. Or we can see the beautiful flowers in the garland. Krishna's beauty is somewhere hidden to us. It's not possible to, right now in our state, to understand that. So if sometimes we are tired of the hypocrisy, hypocritical situation that we are in, we can take a chance and also meditate on Krishna's inconceivable potencies. How he functions within this material creation without even stressing himself a bit. This helps us. This is very, very helpful to develop a healthy, respectful attitude for Krishna, for God. Yes? Just one nice thunder shower and all the rivers are running and we get drinking water. Otherwise, we may have our taps, but if the dam there in the catchment area is empty, where will you get the Bisleri bottles from? Even they will be empty. That is Krishna's inconceivable potency. All he does is make the rains fall. But those rains, they provide water for sustenance for all the species of life. Pure drinking water. One of the ways we can understand Krishna's inconceivable potency. Krishna's inconceivable potency, the same earth, the same patch of land, and you put in one orange seed, you get citric orange fruits, and you put in one banana seed, and you get an alkaline banana fruit. From the same ground. Same water is being put. The same nutrients are there in the ground. But one plant will give the flavor of bananas, which is alkaline. And the other plant, right next to it, the neighboring plant, will give oranges, which is citric, acidic. How does Krishna fit in all this in tiny seeds? Like bananas? Oh, bananas come from shoots, but anyways. Or orange seeds. How does Krishna do it? Inconceivable potency. Krishna is not sitting in heaven with a syringe, you know. Like the people here with watermelons sit. To make the watermelons more tasty, they have sucrose syringes. And just before your car pulls in, saab, tasty. And we are like, really after we eat it, never tasted anything so sweet. Obviously, sucrose is going to be sweet. The watermelon isn't. Krishna is not sitting there with syringe, you know. All right, which seed has he put in? Okay, let me take out my orange seed syringe. No, it's already been programmed by his inconceivable potency. Alright? Jaipur, when we are gone, one of our devotees are gone to get DTs. So they showed one particular DT of ISKCON in one of the temples and said, we want just replica images of these DTs. So the Sthapati there, he made the deities. Obviously, they were not replicas. They're totally different. So they showed him the photograph. When they were showing the photograph, he said, Saab, chinta mat karo. Prabhuji, don't worry. I guarantee you, exactly same. After they were made, they're exactly different. So they asked him, what happened? He said, Bhagwan ke liye bhi duplicate banana kathin hai is duniya mein. Two twins are also not the same. So even Krishna does not make exact duplicates or replicas. Nice logic. But that is Krishna's potency. Two snowflakes in the entire history of snow falling, right from the time snow has ever fallen, are never the same. The crystalline structure, the crystals are non-identical. How does Krishna do it? He doesn't. He plays the flute. But by his inconceivable potency, it's a very healthy process to meditate on Krishna's miracles, his miraculous powers, his potency. It develops a healthy respect for God. And as respect develops, from that respect slowly love will develop. That will give us the vision to see Krishna's beauty later on, as we practice Krishna consciousness sincerely. So here, he's saying that happily have I shown, which means that only Krishna can show universal form. And Arjuna does not have, he's not putting a gun behind Krishna. Dekh boss, dikha de form nahi to kya hai? Even if they have the best of the atomic weapons on Krishna, if Krishna doesn't want, he will not show the universal form. He says, happily have I shown it to you, Arjun. Which means Krishna is in total control whether he wants to show his form or not. Nothing can force him. He is fiercely independent. In this world, people are fighting for so many independence movements. Either for country or for races or for sexes or for, I don't know, so many things. Dogs, cats. But no one is as fiercely independent as Krishna. No one can equal him in that quality of independence. And what is his independent quality? Happily, in reciprocation to his devotee's desire, he can reveal anything. Even the most inconceivable things can be revealed. Another point that comes out of this is that Krishna, his form, even if it is this universal form which is material, you cannot paint, when you paint Krishna as a universal form with trees as his hairs, and with rivers as his veins, and sky, ether, and the luminaries as his head, the sun as one eye, the moon as the other eye. That is not the universal form. Because Krishna says it is inconceivable. It just gives us an idea of what the universal form will be like. Right? And although we have tried to understand how the universal form dances, just imagine if it tilts his head, some of the sky will fall off. No, it is inconceivable. It doesn't fall off. Sometimes devotees, when they're dancing shikha, and if they have long shikha, suddenly the shikha opens up. And then they have to stop dancing and tie their shikha. Krishna does not have to tie his shikha in between and is dancing as a universal form. Why? Because it is inconceivable. Inconceivable means we cannot use our mental faculties to understand the universal form. Then how does one understand the universal form? As Arjuna understood it. Only when Krishna happily reveals the universal form, can the universal form be understood. So this is a very important point. We have to see that Krishna happily does so. Any idea what happens when Krishna becomes unhappy? Anyone has any idea what happens when Krishna becomes unhappy? The question itself is moot, because Krishna never becomes unhappy. However, his potency can become unhappy, like this Maya potency can become unhappy. And when she becomes unhappy, a little shake and a big earthquake. Krishna is always blissful. However, when he wants to reveal something, he has to be specially pleased with his devotee. That is what is being mentioned here. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, only you have been able to see this form. Never before anyone else has seen this form. Now Satyuga has gone, Treta Yuga has gone. My God, what was Krishna doing? Sleeping? Why didn't he show the universal form to anyone? Isn't it a question? Krishna was having, you know, like Kumbhakaran, a long sleep. And Dwapar Yuga got up and he said, now I should show my universal form. Is that how it happens? No. Krishna showed his universal form to satisfy Arjuna. Before Arjuna, there was no one who could actually reciprocate with Krishna in this way. And Srila Prabhupada explains the reasons why. One point that I would like to mention right now is that within this purport to text number 47, Srila Prabhupada reveals something that is secretly been introduced within this verse. When Arjuna saw the universal form, there were many devotees in the upper planetary systems who also had a desire to see the form. And because their form was revealed to Arjuna, all those devotees who were properly following the Guru Parampara, they also got the opportunity to see the form. All the rishis in the upper planetary system saw the form. And the only qualification was two. One, they had a proper guru in Parampara from Krishna. And two, Krishna was reciprocating with Arjuna through that reciprocation, because of that mercy, others could see the universal form too. And Prabhupada says, similarly, all of us who are in disciplic succession, by the mercy of Krishna and through this revelation to Arjuna, can also have the same benefit. We can have the same benefit. Right now, we are having the benefit by seeing the universal form through the process of hearing. You hear, so and so person is very beautiful. They are very fair. They have black hair. Immediately, a picture forms in the mind. How do you see them? Through the process of hearing. How is the picture formed? Through the process of hearing. Similarly, when we hear about the universal form as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, through Arjuna's eyes who has seen it, when we hear of it, by the mercy of Arjuna and because we are in disciplic succession, we also have the same benefit of seeing the universal form through the process of hearing. So Shravan or hearing is very important. Prahlad was in the womb and he heard attentively. His mother was carrying Prahlad within her womb. She was externally sitting right in front of Narad Muni, but most probably she was sleeping in class. Actually, no, she wasn't. She was very attentive. And still, she forgot, Prahlad remembered. What was the difference? She was hearing, but not attentively. She was hearing, but not observing it. Her hearing was only superficial so that Narad Muni could feel that, she's hearing. But Prahlad within the womb was not observable to the crowd. And there was no physical connection between him and Narad, Shripad Narad Muni. But he heard attentively and absorbed every single word. And the result was he became the great Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee right since birth. So similarly, if we have the same faith, although we are within the womb of material illusion, if we can listen very sincerely and observe what is being said, one of us here can right now visualize the universal form. But even if we don't, doesn't matter. If we hear clearly, then we get the same benefit of seeing the universal form. He also mentions that later on, when Krishna went as Shantidut to Delhi, Hastinapur, to bring about some truce between the two families, cousins, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, Duryodhan actually tried to imprison Krishna. Now this attempt has never been done before in history by anyone. No one has ever tried to bind Krishna, except Mother Yashoda, of course, but she was not trying to bind him in chains. So Duryodhan thought that I will capture this Krishna. After all, who is Krishna? He is just one Yadava prince. And Krishna somehow or the other became merciful to him and showed him a partial universal form. That partial universal form, Krishna reduced the energy level that was there. The opulence, the glare of the opulence was much reduced. Otherwise, Duryodhan would have really gone crazy. He would have freaked out. You know, suddenly if you are in a dark room and light flashes, zoom. What happens? So he had the effulgence much reduced and the opulence was much reduced. So all Duryodhan saw was some of the destructive scenes within the universal form. He saw some of the universes, he saw the rivers, he saw the trees, he saw all of that. The opulence of Krishna as a universal form was much reduced. Duryodhan was less qualified. Why did Krishna show that universal form to Duryodhan? It was simply because Yudhishthir wanted to prevent the war. And Yudhishthir is a devotee and connected also to Arjuna. It was their desire that war be averted. And Duryodhan was such a dull fellow that unless and until he saw something really very ugra, something really very horrible, he could never come to his senses. So Krishna showed him a partial universal form. However, because he was not a devotee, Krishna did not reveal his full opulence to him. And because he was not a devotee, he could not understand Krishna as a supreme personality of Godhead. So the next point that comes into question, that is important and we should understand is, only a devotee can understand and see the universal form. If one of us sometimes in our dreams, or sometimes without our dreams, but in a crazy state, thinks that, even I have seen the universal form, then how do we know whether the person has seen the universal form or not? Srila Prabhupada says, there is a confirmatory test. Is that person a devotee? What does a devotee mean? A devotee means someone who has faith, one who has strong faith in Krishna, and second, one who has a very, very, very strong inclination to serve Krishna's mission or to serve Krishna in devotional service. That is a devotee. So if someone feels or someone thinks, even I have seen the universal form, you know, I was going down to Badrinath and I was praying to Krishna, please Krishna show me the universal form, and then bus started toppling down on one of those ghats and suddenly the bus stopped. It was on a tree hanging delicately. And then I saw Krishna's universal form. Wait a minute. Are you a devotee? If you are a devotee, then Krishna will show the universal form. If one is not a devotee, one does not have the necessary adhikar. One does not have sufficient money to see the show. Ticket hi nahi milega. One cannot purchase a ticket to see the universal form. So that is the confirmatory test. When Arjuna started praying to Krishna, Krishna, please, 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 don't show me, please let this form be over. The universal form started smiling. There are hundreds of faces and they are constantly changing, you know, like those animations you see. What are they called? Constantly changing facial features. Morphing, right? It's called morphing in animation. You know, a pig becomes a donkey, becomes a man, becomes an owl. Within 15 seconds. Something like that. Morphing. They morph the images. So such morphing was taking place in the universal form. It was not the same face constantly going on for those minutes. Morphing was taking place. And then suddenly within the universal form, there was this brilliant smile. And do you know why the universal form was smiling? Krishna was thinking, you only requested me to show this form and now you are telling me not to show this form. Ek baar decide kar lo na bhai, kya chahte ho? I mean, tell me now exactly, what do you want me to do? Show the form or not show the form? So this is a very humorous moment between Krishna and the universal form, where Krishna, the universal form, is actually, you know, humorously thinking, well, Arjuna, what is it? What do you want? Do you want to see the form or not see the form? It's, you know, you can tick only in one of those options. And Arjuna immediately took the other option. No more universal form. I just want to see a beautiful human-like form. Why was Arjuna shown this universal form and none before him? That question can arise, isn't it? And do you want to know why? Does everyone want to know why? What was so special about Arjuna? That he saw the universal form and Krishna says, no one before you has seen this universal form. Everyone is ready to hear this? Because devotees generally don't like to see the universal form. Simple as that. Arjuna just wanted to see the universal form to establish Krishna as God. That's it. Why devotees don't want to see the universal form? Now we are going to see the beautiful form. But before that, just 2 seconds. Why devotees don't want to see the universal form? Because there is no opportunity to do service. How can you see the universal form and try to garland him? How can you see the universal form and try to feed him? He's already eating so much. Right? So it's difficult to have reciprocation with the universal form. Therefore, devotees like to see Krishna as Radha Gopinath rather than the universal form. So with that, we'll stop and we'll continue on with this chapter and further verses tomorrow. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai. And now we'll have Kirtan.